speaker this evening is Brother Stacy Ferguson. He's, D. Marilyn, I've got something else on my mind. D. Marilyn is a minister, missionary in the Philippines, and he's going to come speak to us. Sorry about that, D. Marilyn.
God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. You know, I've been looking forward to seeing all of you. Listen, Dixie, Big John, and I love this congregation. I travel lots of places throughout our brotherhood, and I'm telling you tonight, the Austinville congregation is one of the best congregations in our brotherhood today. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Y'all are so blessed to have the Posies here working with you. Mark usually bails when I'm coming. he's in the Ukraine, I suppose, from what I heard. Let's pray for him that he'll have a great, successful work there. But I love this couple, y'all. And let me tell you something. Don't you dare lose that couple. Here again, I travel a lot of places. And y'all have a tremendous minister, a preacher family. Y'all hang on to them, because they are special. I am so grateful to be here tonight. Since I last saw you, you know, those of you that know me know I don't like to talk about problems, about having problems. But I've been challenged since I last saw you. I came home from a mission trip and was out walking after that mission trip. I had a long, it was 28 hours or so on the plane, 14 hours in one leg. Went out, touched the 2-mile mark, took a step, went, and had blood clots go to both lungs. I developed a blood clot from the flight. I won't tell you all about that. I'm just going to tell you it's good to be here. And people, sometimes they say, "Oh, Brother DeMar, why do you say God is good all the time?" Because He's good all the time. And He is blessing us. Listen, I prayed just before I got up here just a minute ago. I said, "Oh God, help me to glorify You and Your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit tonight. Help me, Father, to give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory." Brothers and sisters, the Austinville Church of Christ, in regard to the work that you're involved in the Open Door Ministry with us for so many years, you need to understand what we're doing is huge. Our president would say, it's huge. God has been so good to us from day one. Great and wonderful things have transpired and are transpiring. And tonight I want to share with you, I've got to hurry they want me to give a mission report and do some preaching as well. So I've got a combination of this. But I want you to see, when you see what God is doing, just realize that this is your fruit. I go places and I can tell that they say, "Oh, brother, you're doing a good job over there. You and those that go with you." No. This is your work. This is your fruit. And I come in and I join hands with you. We join hands with each other and then we reach up and join hands with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are co-laborers. We're fellow workers. We're fellow laborers with God. Now, let me see if this works. All right. God is moving mightily in the Philippines, as well as in foreign lands where we've gone with the gospel of Christ. These figures are conservative figures, and yet I think that the numbers and things should touch your heart if you're into missions and into reaching lost souls. We have baptized more than 15,000 baptisms. We have established 120 new congregations all over this world, all over Russia, in the Ukraine, Africa, Chile, the only Church of Christ, listen to me, the only Church of Christ in Iceland, Austinville, helped that happen. See, some people don't, you're not aware sometimes. Reykjavik, Iceland, that congregation, we're not involved there any longer, but that's part of our work. We get things going, and we use Pauline methodology, and it carries on. But you have established congregations in all these places, all the Pacific Islands, New Zealand, in the Philippines, and I'll be showing you some things we're doing in the Philippines. But right here, God is good all the time. We're running a race in the Philippines. Oops, I went too far. Hope I can go back. Okay, God has blessed us right now in the Philippines alone. Now, this figure is just for the Philippines. We baptized 3,087 souls. We've established 42 new congregations. We have established an orphan's home, Christ Happy Child Haven, Asian Christian University, which started out as a college. We've grown up. We've matured. Somebody told me, said, Demar, won't you call that a university when we first established? I said, no. No, not until we qualify to be a university. We reached that. We grew up to that. And now we changed the name from Philippine Theological College to Asian Christian University. The reason we took the name Philippines out of it, we hope that people will come from all over Southeast Asia, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, Malaysia, and other places throughout Southeast Asia, and will attend school there. We offer all the way, degrees all the way up through the Doctor of Ministry degree, the Master of Divinity, the Doctor of Ministry degree. And so all of this, all the glory belongs to God. We've got a dream. We have a vision. And we believe God is helping us mightily to accomplish that. We are preparing for that day that God will open the doors of China. And when God opens the doors of China, we hope to have hundreds, and maybe even more than that, maybe thousands, of men trained and equipped for effective evangelism, to be effective preachers and missionaries in China when God opens that door. And it's coming. China wants to have a free market economy. And they're going to have to open their doors where people can come and go, and they can, the markets can, it's the dollar that they'll be seeking, but it'll open the door for us. And we saw this coming, and we're not just praying about it like we did about Russia. We are praying and preparing. We were really not prepared for Russia. We baptized thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands in Russia, but we really not made the preparation. This time, I wonder what we could have done had we prepared properly. We prayed properly, but without preparation. We're preparing for a great day of evangelism when God opens that door. Asian Christian University, we're preparing faithful men for local ministry in their homeland and for missionary service beyond the Philippines. We're preparing men for missionary service in China by teaching them Mandarin Chinese. We have a man that's in China at this time being educated in that language and in that culture. He's also preaching over there. So we've already made our... I've been to China personally. We've already made inroads into China. And we hope and pray that when God opens that door, we will have men, effective men, not just preachers, not just missionaries. I tell them in the Philippines, we got enough preachers. We got enough missionaries. And they go, and I say, what we need is effective preachers. And we need effective missionaries. And that's what we're trying to do, is get them ready to go into China. This work, and I don't use words just throwing them out there, it's immeasurable. There's no way to measure the good that's already been done and what will be done in the future if God continues to bless us. Now, quickly, this is the material thing. God is so good. We need material blessings to get His work done. You can't do mission work. I got missionary friends, and they get upset with me sometimes. I say, what did you do? They get enough money to go over, and they go over and preach and baptize people, and then they come home, and I say, well, where are they worshiping? And they say, I don't know. I go, you know, we've got to establish Paul's work. When you go back and look at his work, it was establishing new congregations. That's the key to world conquest. It's not just baptizing people. It's new congregations, new congregations, new congregations. Baptize them, but then establish a congregation there that will go on until Jesus returns to judge the world. Look at these material blessings. This is the administration building. This is another view at the back. This right here is the canteen where they buy their shaving cream and their toothpaste and other toiletries and stuff. They take coffee breaks and tea breaks here. This is the backside of Quitman Hall. This is another view of Quitman Hall. This is the Adairsville Library. God has blessed us with a tremendous library that some of you probably contributed to this. We have some of the most scholarly books, academic books that you could ask for in the university library. People have said that have gone over there from America, look at our books, and they say, whoa! And I just smile. But it's people like you that made that possible. People contributed. People opened their hearts. People donated books. And they donated funds that we could have such. Horton's Chapel Church of Christ provided this guardhouse. This is the entrance to our campus. We have a guard there, an armed guard 24/7. I had somebody say, oh, Brother Demar, an armed guard? Most universities have to have it. And, of course, we've got an orphanage. Those campuses are joined together. We want to protect those little ones. We live in, we're working in the Philippines, and ISIS is there. The Muslims down on the south of the Philippines, we're up on the north, but there is that constant thing. We need security, and we're doing the best we can to protect our students and to protect the children that are there. This is the Turner Educational Building. Classes are taught there. The Stewart Gazebo, this is in the quad of our campus. The students can go out there and have fellowship. They have devotionals there. Maybe a student can come out there alone and study quietly. This is a beautiful place, trees and a breeze. It's very hot in the Philippines, but this is a good. Moultrie Auditorium. We have lectureships, singings, graduations, youth camps. It just goes on and on. This is an open-air auditorium. The Moultrie Church of Christ provided the funds for this building. This is the Dalton Hall. The Central Church of Christ in Dalton, Georgia, provided the funds to build this. Our men, this is where they, of course, live while they're in school. This is the John Elam Dining Hall. This is the safest building on the campus. The Adairsville Elders, they wanted to name this in honor of our sweet John, who's an ambassador for Christ, and I appreciate them doing that. Everybody in the Philippines knows John, all of our students and faculty and so forth. But this is a blessing here. This was built with hurricane codes, roof strapped down, extra rebar and all the blocks and concrete poured in on top of that. It's the safest building on campus. This is the Walnut Street Mission House. It's a duplex. You got four bedrooms over here, four bedrooms over there, a living room and a kitchen, a living room and a kitchen. If you were going over to teach, if you're an American missionary or teaching in the school, if you're a teacher, you would stay there in this mission house. This is Eunice Segurit, the president of Asian Christian University. He's a practicing attorney, a great, godly Christian man. I hope one day that Eunice and his wife Alma can come to America. This will be one of the first places I would want to bring them, is to Austinville, for them to see. I'm not just here tonight to stroke you. That's not my nature. But I'd love them to see what's going on here in this place. They need to see good churches like this. This is one of our graduating classes. This is one of the smaller classes. We graduated 8 classes. This right here is one of our, this was our largest group. But brothers and sisters, think about this. Somebody said, Demar, why don't you just go over there and you baptize people and come back home? Well, the Bible teaches us faithful men to teach faithful men to teach faithful men. And watch this. If I went over and I baptized thousands, just say I baptized personally thousands, but watch this. If we teach these men and educate these men, and each one of them, he baptizes thousands, you see where I'm going? We're multiplying ourselves many times over. These are faithful, dedicated young men really serving the Lord. Now, just suppose there's 50 men in that picture. Just suppose each man gets 50-something years of ministry on this earth and he just baptizes 1,000. That's all he baptizes. If I'm not mistaken, that's 50,000 souls. And that's just one of our graduating classes. We've got others. And we're hoping and praying that we can train many more and get them ready for ministry. This was back in June of 2017. We had a medical evangelism mission. We had 661 patients, 191 Bible studies, 31 baptisms. Now watch this. We've been taking 20, 30, 40 at times, 15, 18 from America. We only had three Americans travel to the Philippines. We are practicing Pauline methodology. We are trying to work ourselves out of a job. So we told the Filipinos, this June, you got to step up. You're going to carry the load. We're only sending three Americans. And so they stepped up. And when they had this result, I told them, I said, see there? I said, I told y'all didn't need us. And they said, oh, no, Brother DeMar. But the point is, we plan one day. This work will all be in the hands of Filipinos. Out of all the students that have graduated from Asian Christian University, listen to this, they've gone out to preach. Only one is on American support. And I begged them not to do that. I said, don't do that. We have all of our men being supported by Filipino congregations. That's Pauline methodology. That's the way it ought to be done. They need to carry the Lord's work in their own homeland themselves. They need to give liberally. They need to sacrifice. They need to carry the load. And we've been teaching that for years, ever since we've been there. Our president is very attuned to that. He's a practicing attorney, but he's very on that same page. We Filipinos need to carry the load. So I hope and pray that you like that idea. Some churches in America don't have that concept. I beg the congregation, don't do that. Don't support him. Oh, we love him. We got to support him. I said, that's a mistake. Don't do it. But they did it anyway. But I'm sure that it'll work out good. I mean, he's a good man. But it's not the healthiest thing for the work. The little people are counting on you and me. Look at these little faces. We established an orphanage. It's called Christ Happy Child Haven. We have 16 girls, 15 boys. This is the administration building, and these are the two. This is the girls' house. This is the boys' house. Look at these little ones. These lovely children, they need to be loved, and they need to be cared for. And I'm telling you, we're doing our best to take real good care of them, to bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Somebody said, DeMar said, what are you planning for the future? See, these boys have been rescued. Their future is now bright. I do mean rescued. And these girls, these little girls, they now have a place where they're safe. One girl was asked by an American, where several Americans were standing there, and they asked her, they said, do you like living here at Christ Happy Child Haven? And she began to cry. They looked at each other and went, what have we done? You know. So when she finally could get a hold of herself, she said, I love living here. And here's what she said. She said, because I'm safe, then I need to say anything else. Here's a little girl, a woman, a young woman. She feels safe. You know why she feels safe? At CHC, Christ Happy Child Haven, because she is safe. We've got cameras everywhere. We try to protect her. We try to, watch over them. Now, I say got to put cameras everywhere. There's some places you can't put cameras, but we watch over those children. We got cameras for trying to protect them. We got a guard that's on duty all the time trying to protect these little ones. Now, these boys, we want them to grow. I mean, let me talk to you about that just a minute. These are our four newest. Right here was six. These two are siblings. These are siblings. This girl was too old to meet our guidelines to come in. This little child right here was too young. But they were going to be on the street. They were going to have nobody to take care of them. I went to the elders. I said, we need to adjust our guide. We need to make an exception. And the elders listened to it all, and they said, absolutely. They set the guidelines aside. We don't want girls. She's 13 years old. Lots of times if you get a 13-year-old coming in, they already smoke. They already curse. Some of them on drugs, maybe sexually active. So what we wanted to do was get little ones, and then we bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we've been at it long enough now that some of them are growing. I'm just so much. But we made an exception, and this girl, that's her right there. That's the little one. When they dressed this girl right here, they said it was like dressing a doll. We don't have one that young. That's the youngest one that's ever been at the orphanage. Here they are getting their clothes. Sister Alma Segurit, this is the wife of the president and the director of the orphanage, and she's giving them their clothes. The people in the Philippines they're poor, but they're receptive to the gospel of Christ. Here are our precious girls. Look at them. And when they, most of these girls, when they came, they were down this size. And now look at them. They're growing up before our very eyes. They're growing like beautiful flowers. Sometimes we say they grow like weeds, but I mean, they're growing like beautiful flowers. And this is our precious boys. I probably should have put as the caption there, our rascals. Because they're all boys. And they're going to make great gospel preachers in the future. Somebody said, what do you plan for those boys to do? I said, they're going to leave the campus of CHC, come to the campus at ACU, and become gospel preachers. That's our plan for them. That's our vision. And I believe most all of them will do that. I just believe that. Some won't. I know life, but we believe most all of them will. Somebody said, Brother DeMar, what about the girl? I said, we got that plan. They said, really? I said, oh, yeah. I said, these girls are going to marry these boys and be the wife of gospel preachers. They said, we knew you were thinking along that line. And that's exactly what we're thinking. These are high schoolers here. They come for 2 months in the summer. Most all those boys, they're in high school, but they've committed already to become students at Asian Christian University and become gospel preachers. We're teaching these young women how to be what God expects of a Christian woman in the church today. And believe you me, we're sticking with the scriptures about, listen, I believe in woman power in the church. I believe in woman power in the church, rightly used. That's what we're trying to teach them. God has a plan for the women, and He has a plan for the men. And we need to keep those, in America, it's getting all messed up. We're going to try our best to keep it really straight. God has a work for you women. God has a work for you men. And the work of the women sometimes is not what the men are supposed to be doing, and vice versa. So we're working on that. Pray for us. This is Kevin Kim Collado. He is in China. This is a beautiful wife and a little baby. He's being separated from them, but he comes home. He's at home right now. He'll be leaving in a few days. They have about a month and a half break between semesters. So he comes home, stays with the family, then he goes back. He'll have 2 years there. He's the most scholarly young man we've had go through our school. God is providing for us. Let me tell you something. Back a month and a half or so ago, we needed so much money. Oh, I'm not supposed to mention money. One guy told me, he said, Brother DeMar, you need to call it funds. Don't say money. People are sensitive about money. But listen. I'm just an old boy from Chickasaw, Alabama, down around Mobile. And you know what we need in missions? In order to do the work for God, we need money. You can say funds. I don't think it's offensive to people, to tell you the truth. If our heart's right, the only way we're going to get this work done is through you. God does it through you and others like you who open their hearts and give generously. We needed these two vans. Because the vans we had were 11 years old. We needed $56,434, and God has given us that. In short order, we had those two vans. They are now been purchased. They're being used. I'm just telling you, God is a God of provision. God is a God of provision. And when you do the right thing, God will bless you. And I believe we're doing the right thing. And He gave us those vans. They were 11 years old. We had to replace them. We got four vans. We replaced them two at a time so we can handle the amount of money needed. CHC, we had those six children I showed you a moment ago. So we had six children. It takes $165 a month to sponsor a child at CHC. We needed a total of $990 monthly. Do you know how long it took us to get that? 1 week and a half. All six of those children have sponsors now and being taken care of. Isn't that great? Isn't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that what God wants out of us? People stepped up. In fact, we had a couple of people say, "Hey, I didn't get one." I said, "Just hang on. We'll have one for you soon." So we have them standing in line. I wish I had about 45 minutes to talk to you about what God says about orphans. Let me tell you something. This church needs, I don't know what you're doing. This church needs to be helping an orphan. And you as an individual, if you read God's Word and study it, you'll see God means business when it comes to orphans. And I'm afraid in the day of judgment, Jesus might look at some of us and say, "Did you not read what I said about the little ones?" Brothers and sisters, let's take care of the orphans and the widows. God means business about orphans and widows. We need 12.5 acres. We've used all of our land. We've got to have land to expand and grow. So we need 12.5 acres. Land's expensive in the Philippines. Somebody said, "How are you going to get that, Brother DeMar?" I said, "If God wants us to have it, we're going to have it. Now, if He doesn't want us to have it, there wasn't anything we could do to get it anyway." I just believe in that. And so pray about that land. These red roofs, that's what God has blessed us with. These red lines show the property we're trying to buy. This is a main highway out here. These red lines are going out to that highway. We come in through the village this way. This is the way we get into the campus now. But we need to come in off of this main road. So pray. Pray. Hey, listen. I'm no beggar. I've told you this before. When I've been the director of mission programs for years, lectureship programs where the mission, sometimes a missionary will come in and he'll say this. Dixie knows it just really gets me. And you hear a missionary say, "I'm just a beggar for Christ. I'm just a beggar for Christ." I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm no beggar. I'm not a beggar. I'm a child of the King. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm here at Austinville to challenge you tonight. I'm not here to beg. I'm here to show you the opportunities that are there before us. And then it's up to you what you do with the challenge. Missionaries are not beggars. We're children of the King just like you are. The young and old are counting on you and me. I end this session with this challenge. The greatest work on planet Earth is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying. To reach as many for Christ as we possibly can. Teamwork is the key. Pauline methodology is the key. Dixie, John, and I love you. Somebody says, "DeMar, how can you say you love me? You don't even know me hardly." Let me tell you something. I can say I love you if you love Christ. If you love Christ, Dixie and I love you. John loves you. We are family. That is the tie that binds our hearts immediately together. And so we thank you for your love, your fellowship, and your concern. Now, the elders had asked me to present a mission presentation. And then they asked me if I would to preach for a few minutes. And so somebody said, "I thought that's what you've been doing for this whole time." But listen, with the time left, I appreciate the fact that they want me to do this. I want to say to you that we are 21 days into 2018. And so we're not too far gone, but what I can present to you, a challenge and an exhortation. These remarks are built around the subject, "Be strong and of good courage throughout 2018. The people of Israel had learned a great lesson from the leadership of Joshua. They learned that victory comes through faith. It did not come because of their numerical strength. It did not come because of their might or their power or their wealth. It came because of their faith in Jehovah God." Now, Austinville, if you're to do great things in 2018, you need to have a great, great, great faith. You know, Israel learned that it was through faith and obedience to God's Word that Joshua was to succeed. God said to Joshua, I'll be with you. I will never forsake you or leave you. And he promised Joshua, Joshua, if you do the right thing, if the people of Israel will do the right thing and they will follow me and they will follow my law, they will prosper wherever they go. Now listen, we need to serve the God of Joshua. Joshua's God is our God. Joshua's God was the I am who I am of Exodus 2 and verse 14. We need to learn that victory that overcomes the world is our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Austinville, listen to me. You want to have victory in 2018? You want to have victory in 2018? Then have faith. Many of us think that our faith is as strong as it needs to be. But really, the shortcomings that we have is based on our lack of faith in God. Quickly, open your Bible now. I'm having to hurry. Open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Listen, God told Joshua, he said, and to the people of Israel, he said, arise and go over this Jordan. Hey, listen, Austinville, arise in 2018 and go over your Jordans. I don't know what those Jordans may be to you, but arise and go over your Jordans in this coming year. Now, look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand. This is what God told Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He says to Joshua and the Israelites, he says, be strong and of good courage. Oh, I want to say to the church here tonight in 2018, be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. Notice he was telling Joshua and Israel to do. God expects us to do in 2018. Now, turn over to Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. So it was after these days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Get that picture. He says, Israel, when you see the Ark of the Covenant moving, you set out and you go after it. Look at verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you are to go. You have not passed this way before. Now, he told the Israelites, you follow the Ark of the Covenant. When it moves, you get up and you set out and follow it. But he said, don't get too close to it. Kind of like Moses. The ground you stand on is holy ground. They could not get. He said, lest you die. They would die if they got too close. But now, 2,000 cubits. That's 3,000 feet. That's just a little bit above a half mile. So they were to stay that distance, but the Ark of the Covenant was to guide them because they were going. He says, you have not passed this way. In the King James Version, it says, heretofore. But in the New King James, it says, you've not passed this way before. Brothers and sisters, we're only 21 days into 2018. We have not passed this way before. We have launched, we have already set sail into 2018, into the unknown. We have no idea what this year holds for any of us or for all of us. But let us go in faith. Let us go in trust. Let us go in obedience. We have not passed this way before. And I think we all need to pray, oh God, use us mightily in this year. Now, quickly turn over to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua is saying in verse 14, he says, serve the Lord. Just for a note here, verses 14 through 33. 15 times the word serve or served is used. God expects us to serve. And he says in verse 15, and if it, Joshua said to the people, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, Austinville, every head of the house, every woman in the home, every young person in the home, our families need to make this kind of commitment. In 2018, we shall serve the Lord. We need to pray, oh God, increase our faith. Now, God told Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has given us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And listen to what Jesus said, the promise he made to all of us. And as a missionary, I live on that promise. Jesus said, I'll be with you, Demar, to the end of the age, or the end of the world. God will go with us when we're doing the right thing. Now, I close by asking you to turn in your Bible to First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. We'll close with these thoughts. He says, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. He's giving them a courage and exhortation. He's exhorting them. And I want you to listen. Remember, God told Joshua, he said, you be courageous. You be strong and of good courage. Paul was saying that to the Corinthians. Listen to what he says. Paul's final exhortation to the Corinthians, it reads like this. Paul said, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So, Austinville, I love you. If I know my heart, I love you very much. And I want to exhort you as you move on forward into 2018. Let Paul's words ring in your mind and ring in your heart and guide your feet throughout this year. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. And let all that you do be done in love. God bless you. I hope that I'm still in time frame here. If you're here tonight and you're not doing what God wants you to do, I'm going to tell you something. If people who will not obey God, people who will not follow His law, people who will not abide by His teachings and do what God wants them to do, they're not going to have this assurance of having God with them and guiding them and blessing them. God says if you'll do that, He said, whatsoever you do shall prosper. So if you want to prosper, you need to come to the Lord if you're outside of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, come on. Get this year right. Get it started. Become a child of God tonight. Don't go another night outside of Christ. If you're here and you've not been faithful, You know you've been weak in faith. You've capitulated to the world. You've been involved in worldly activities, and maybe you've been coming to services, but out here in living the Christian life, you've been failing. Come home. Start 2018 in the right way. While together we stand and while we sing.